It's good to see some of our faithful people that work with us and try to help us. I'm just going to read just a little bit of scripture tonight. And if you've got your Bibles, you can turn over to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Reading from the book of Chronicles, you know the word chronicle goes back to what we refer to as a chronological order of the records of the kings. So then when you speak of the Chronicles, you're talking about the records of the kings. It was kept in the Old Testament. You read it in the book of Kings, and a lot of times you go to the book of Chronicles, and it's carried on over because that is the order of it where it's filed away. And, of course, this particular thing refers to David. Chapter 16 of the book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles. So they brought the ark of God and set it in the midst of the tent that David had pitched for it, and they offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings before God. And when David had made an end of offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord. And he dealt to every one of Israel, both man and woman, to every one a loaf of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. And he appointed certain of the Levites to minister before the ark of the Lord and to record and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel. All right. Now, let me say once again that it's my pleasure and delight to be here in Charlotte and to be able to enjoy the wonderful things of Jesus. I know that the end of time is nearing. How many of you agree to that? The end of time is nearing. It's not far off. And I want to say again that being here in Charlotte, there is a great significance to it. More than just coming here for a tent meeting. If I was coming here just for a tent meeting, I'd went about it a little different. But coming here in the will and name of Jesus, there's a world of difference in it. And I come to you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the leadership of the Lord Jesus. And tonight, I'm here in Charlotte by divine revelation and by the will of God. And you know that means something when you go to a place by divine revelation. That means something. You know, if a man of God, if he's really a man of God or a person of God, drops into a place just by chance, you can watch out because something's on its way. Just, you know, if they just happen to pass through. But if somebody comes directly by the leading of God, there is really something on its way. And it would behoove us to really watch and really pray. Now somebody would say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Pike, and that's all right because you're a human being, you've got your sovereignty, you believe what you want to. But I'm telling you what I know. And for them that can believe, Jesus said, blessed are they that have not seen, yet they still believe. And he said, in one place, believe my prophets and prosper. A lot of times, you know, people get in trouble because they don't believe. It's like the days of Noah. Noah kept telling him something God had said, but they didn't really believe that, did they? They didn't really believe it. But I tell you what, when time come to close the door to that big ark, they wished they had believed it. Everybody wanted to crowd in at the last minute, but it was too late. See, I'm telling you why you got time to get in. Now's the time to do it. Don't wait around. Now's the time to do it. You know, when everything is about to blow up, and the bombs start falling, or the tornadoes start coming, or the sorrows start hitting, we're willing to give up money, we're willing to give up homes, we're willing to give up position, we're willing to give up our ideas or whatever. Isn't that right? Just to get right. You take a man that's about to die, he feels like he's fixing to die, start having a heart attack, he'll grab himself and all those things will go through his mind that he's been thinking, and he'll think, well, my land, I didn't think too much about what I said to brother such and such, but I wish I could straighten that out. God forgive me, I didn't mean it just like that. And some of them issues that he pressed when he was trying to tell people about God, he feels like maybe they're not exactly like he said they was, and he'll start grabbing himself and saying, my God, maybe that wasn't just exactly that way. Maybe you ought to straighten a few things out and change it around just a little bit. Isn't that right? But I tell you what, it pays us to get right to start with. It pays us to get everything lined up to start with. While we got plenty of time, that's the time to listen. So you don't wait too late. Try to do it while you got plenty of time, and everything will work out all right. Isn't that right? All right. So then it's my happy privilege to be here and speak to you tonight in the name of the Lord. Now, I'd love to stay here for just a month or two. It'd just do me good, you know, in my heart, just to be able to stay here and worship with you for a month or two. But I realize that God is doing something, and I know that I'm right in the middle of it. Not that I'm that important, but I just found myself right in the middle of it, and I know that I've got to do whatever God tells me to do. Now see, it isn't that a man is so important. It wasn't that Moses was so important. But somehow or another, Moses found himself right in the middle of God's will, didn't he? Doing the things that God intended for him to do. Moses didn't ask God to do that. He just was born for that purpose. Paul didn't ask God to do that. Paul was born for that purpose in the world. Now I said this a lot of times. We look at a person, we say, well, I can't understand why God would be using that person over yonder. And why don't God put me up there? Why isn't it me that God's using? Isn't that right? But I said this a lot of times. If you was up here, then somebody else would be thinking, why isn't that me? So it's got to be somebody. Why not be whoever God puts up there? Because it's going to be somebody, and everybody going to feel the same way about the somebody. So we might as well just say, well, thank God, it's got to be somebody. And if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. See, somebody's got to be a woman, isn't that right? Somebody's got to be a man. Somebody's got to be a granddaddy. Somebody's got to be a grandmother. Somebody's got to be a mother. Somebody's got to be a father. Isn't that right? Something's got to be an elephant. Isn't that right? Something's got to be a lion. So whatever God intended to be, let it be like that. If it's a Moses, if it's Elijah, and whatever it might be, well, just let it be like that. And just say, God, I thank you because you care enough for me to help me be able to escape the flames. It don't make any difference if it's a black man, a white man, a yellow man, a red man, whatever it is that comes to tell me about Jesus. Just let me rejoice and be glad. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. Praise God. If it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it don't make any difference with me. As long as Jesus is nearby, that's all that's important to me. Hallelujah! It doesn't make any difference whether I'm in China, whether I'm in America, whether I'm in Europe, or wherever I'm at. As long as Jesus is with me, I'm all right. But I tell you what, if I was in a king's palace tonight and I couldn't feel the presence of God, I'd be one miserable human being. Because I have to feel God wherever I'm at. That's the only way I can be happy, is to feel God. Hallelujah! Last night I felt God. Didn't you feel God? You that was here last night, didn't you feel God? We've not been making believe. God really genuinely has been here doing these services. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's no make-believe about it. I've been watching since we've been here. I believe this is about the ninth night. And I've watched, especially watched, and every place that we've stayed in the motor home, in the different motels, and we've been in two or three different motels since we've been here, been in the motorhome a number of days, and in every place that we've stayed, there's been something specifically outstanding about it. God moving us from place to place according to His own will and according to His own desire. And I've been watching the beautiful revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You know, I really, from the bottom of my heart, people that don't have the revelation, it, my heart really goes out to them because I realize what a great, magnificent thing that they're missing. Now, you might know doctrine. That's good. You should know doctrine. Paul said you ought to have some doctrine. A lot of people don't believe in doctrine, but I do. I believe you ought to have some doctrine. The Bible said it's a good thing that the heart be established. Isn't that right? And the Bible teaches it's good to have a tongue. Good to have an interpretation. Isn't that right? Ought to have a message when we come together. But the Bible tells us it's good to have a revelation too. Isn't that right? And Paul tells us that the church should pray that God would grant unto them the spirit of revelation. I believe the spirit of revelation ought to be in the church. I talk to a lot of people and people tell me that they understand the Bible. But after talking to them maybe 15 or 20 minutes, I'm completely convinced that they don't even know what they're talking about. Now somebody said, well now, Brother Pike, all puffed up, it just might be you that don't know what you're talking about. You ever thought of it like that? I sure have. Wept a lot of tears, fasted and prayed while I was thinking of it like that to find out if I was wrong. But you know what? I learned that the Word of God can be proven. The Bible said prove all things and hold fast that which is good. I've learned that you can prove whether or not you're right or they're right. And then when you find out which one is right, that you can really hold to what you've learned. And I've proven it, hallelujah. Praise God, I've proven it. I know which one's right and which one is wrong. For many years I didn't know. But today I do know. And since I do know, then I try to hold fast to that which is good. I meet people around the world, and some of the people I find out really know God. They're really acquainted with God. They've really got a message from God. God's really given them something. I find that some of them just running like some that beats the air. They don't know where they're going, where they've been, or what they're doing. They don't understand what they're saying. They just say it because they want to say something to the public and be before the public. But that's a sad situation. Did you know that? Just wanting to be before the public to be able to say something for somebody to hear you. Just wanting some fame and popularity. You're trying to get as many dollars as you can. That's a bad situation. If I was you, I'd go out yonder and get with somebody else, and I'd get to be Elvis Presley or something. I'd get away from God. Hallelujah. Amen. I admire men like Elvis Presley to the extent if they're going to be just get down in the slop holes and the hog pens and at least get away from the church. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You know, we got people in the world, they'll magnify the people that get down in the hog pens. I made the statement not too long ago. I said, a certain man magnified Elvis Presley, lifted him up as a great saint of God. I said, God's going to get that man for it. So the other day he had a heart attack. God won't let you play with the gospel. Brother, we've got to separate darkness from light. And whatever's right's right. Whatever's wrong is wrong. God said, warn that person that called darkness light. And light darkness. Let's make it what it is. Let's keep it separated so the people won't get confused. You know, the Bible said, I would that you were hot or cold. Isn't that right? I don't want you to get in between. Be dark or be light. Whichever one it is, it's all right. Be hot or be cold, but don't try to mix it together. That's what's wrong with the church today. They're trying to take the world and mix it with religion. That won't ever work. That won't ever work. The world belongs to one power, and salvation belongs to another power. Somebody say, where do you get that? The Bible said the devil is the prince of this world. Hallelujah. But it tells me Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. So there's a difference in them. Isn't that right? So then as long as we keep them separated, there's no problems. See, what's going to bring the end of the world is not just people being bad, because people was bad before Jesus ever come. They didn't know nothing about God. In that right as a whole, they didn't know nothing, just the Jews. So it isn't that that's going to bring the end of the world. It isn't people being good that's going to bring the end of the world. Because we've had good people all down through the years. Is that right? Bible said Noah was a perfect man. Then you say, Brother Pike, what is going to bring the end of the world? When people try to mix the good with the bad and put it all together and say, this is good enough, God, you can have it. God said, don't bring me the halt, lame, and blind. I'm a great God, he said. Take it to your governors and see if your governors will receive it of you. Don't bring it to me. Bring me a lamb without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. Isn't that right? So then God wants us to be without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish, to offer unto him the sacrifice of praise, and that we should give our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. We should stop short of nothing other than giving our bodies completely unto God. Hallelujah. I don't believe God wants to be coming to Charlotte telling everybody they got to leave their church. Do you? Do you believe God tells men to do that? God didn't tell me to come up here and tell all of you to leave your church and follow me. That wasn't what he told me to do. But he told me when I come up here to tell you that are in certain churches to get right with God. Get your pastor right with God. Get your soul right with God. Clean the thing out and come together in the love of God. Hallelujah. I don't believe men ought to build a $50,000 building and just because the pastor don't agree with them, walk off and leave it. Neither do I believe that there ought to be a troublemaker and be a prick in his side either. Amen. If you come to greater light than your pastor's got, be kind enough to try to share it with him. If he can't see it and he shows you the love of God, then stay around as long as you can to help the others and not be a prick in his side. If God requires it of you, get on out somewhere and go on with the greater move of God where God's enlightening you. Don't be a troublemaker. Maybe God, maybe them little chicks just can't get no bigger yet. Amen. You know you got your little chicks, I said the other night, and they're just as sweet as they can be. You ever watched them? I used to raise some little chicks. But you get a few brawlers, amen, fry inside, you got to separate them or they'll trample the little ones to death. Isn't that right? You get some bigger, get some pullets and some hens, you still got to separate them. If you don't, they'll trample them to death, to peck them to death. So then God, he's got the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, he's got all of them, just kind of got them boxed off to run them through. Isn't that right? Somebody said, now, are you Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian? What are you? I said the other night, I'm a Christian. Now, I have been run through the boxes, though. How many have been run through the boxes? Sure, God's got them set up for a purpose. Hallelujah. Amen. I said, when you're raising children, you have to build a fence around it. You know, the kids, to keep them from getting run over. But after a while, when they grow up, they get out of the fence. They get them a fence of their own. They start raising some children. So then what God wants us to do is wherever we're at, be contented. But He wants us to be right with God. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I feel this way. If I was down yonder in the chambers of hell and the devil was on every side of me, or demons was on every side of me, I believe the grace of God could keep me, don't you? I believe the grace of God could keep me. Somebody said, well, I just can't live right around brother so-and-so. If I felt that way, I'd get away from him. So I just can't live right in that church. Well, you need to get out of it. But I tell you what, if you got the love of God and you got the Spirit of God, you'll not only live right, but you'll go so that you'll get somebody else straightened out. Hallelujah! Praise God. We can live for God and let our light so shine that men may see our good works. Glorify our Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Somebody said, ain't no need to get so excited about it. I don't see how you can help them get excited. Glory to God. When you talk about Jesus Christ, He's the most exciting thing I ever heard about. I get excited every time I start thinking about Him. I'll be at home sometime praying over in the midnight hour. And I get to thinking about God, and I just get so happy I start running over. I just start bubbling over in the midnight hour. I just get to thinking about Him. I think how wonderful it is. I don't know whether you're a pilot or not. Sometimes I go up with Brother David and some of the others, you know, and you get off, and when you take off the ground, you know, get way up there above the clouds and get up there just, you know, still and quiet. Everything's peaceful. You just kind of run over a little bit, you know. Just bubble over a little bit because everything's just so wonderful being up there. And then when you come back down, you hit that bumpity rump, 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 you know, when you come in and you feel that atmosphere and you see every degraded thing and everything in debauchery all around, all the corruption, you think, my God, it's time to go flying again. That's what I do, hallelujah. When I get down into the mires, I just go flying again. I say, God, just take me on another trip, hallelujah. Get me out of the stuff down here in this world. If I didn't take a trip in my mind every once in a while, you know, these boys that take dope and all that kind of thing, these girls, they get so disgusted, they take a trip. That's the way I do. I take two or three looks around, and I get so disgusted, I just take a trip. I'm thankful to God I don't have to have a pill to do it, though. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Glory to God. You don't have to take a pill to take a trip. All you got to do is take a trip with Jesus. You heard that song, we'll take a trip in the good old gospel ship. We can be glad. Hallelujah. We can be glad. We can be filled with the Spirit tonight. Not make believe, but I mean real, genuinely filled with the Holy Ghost. Are you really in touch with heaven? Are you really in touch with heaven tonight? Raise your hand if you're in touch with heaven. Folks, I'm not kidding you. I'm in touch with heaven tonight. I'm in touch with heaven. I actually have conversation with God. And He talks to me and I talk to Him. And He tells me some exciting things. Hallelujah. And a lot of times they're so exciting. I say, my God, could that be? Could that actually be? And the Lord will say, hold on, son. Prove all things. Just see if it comes out that way. And sure enough, it'll come out that way. And then I'll really have a fit. I think, my God, talking to Jehovah the Great. Me, a mortal being down here in the swirl, conversing with Jehovah. Conversing with the one that made the stars, that made the earth, that made the great ocean. The one that made mass humanity, that created you. And I think I'm talking with Him. I'm communing with Him. And He's talking with me. And He comes by my place and He's saying, George, I'm going to do such and such and such. I said, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I say, glory to God. Hallelujah. I get excited. Because Jehovah dropped by and told me something. You know, God dropped by Abraham's tent one time and said, shall I hide these things from Abraham? Seeing that me and Abraham's friends, there's no need for me to hide it from him. He's my friend. I'm going over and have a talk with him. You know, God's got some friends he likes to go over and have a talk with once in a while. Isn't that right? If you got a friend, don't you like to fellowship him once in a while and have a talk with him? Amen. I'll have to go by and talk with God. He's my friend. And God comes by and He talks with me. And we talk about the most wonderful things. Hallelujah. No time for gossip. No time for backbiting. No time for fault finding. Talk about God. Talk about winning souls. Talk about winning people out of the fire. Pulling them out of the fire. Helping them to find God. Looking for something for God. Hallelujah. All right. So then the Bible said David took a tent, found a place for the Ark of the Covenant, set up a place, and they brought in the Ark. You know, David, a lot of times folks are like David. They kind of take it for granted, you know, there's somebody special. You know, preachers have to watch out to get the feeling like there's somebody special. And sometimes a person that fasts and prays a little, maybe a woman or a man, maybe a child, you know, of God, they'll get the feeling a little bit special. Or maybe God's blessed you with a good business, or maybe God's blessed you with a good income, or God blessed you with a good intelligence. Maybe God's give you good health when somebody else hasn't got that good health. And you're ready to put your finger on the others, you know, and kind of think more highly of yourself than you ought to. David was no different. He got to thinking a little bit too highly of himself. The Bible said the Ark of the Covenant had been away from Israel, and all of a sudden here it came back into the camp. And the Bible said that when he came back into the camp, David got all excited. Hallelujah. He was just like I am. He got all excited. That Ark of the Covenant had been away, and here it was coming back. And David, he knew that that meant blessings and prosperity and meant the presence of God in the camp. And he got all excited. And he got to thinking a little bit too highly of himself. So he sent some men out there and said, you go out there and you get that Ark of the Covenant. You escort that Ark of the Covenant. You bring that Ark of the Covenant here, and we're going to take care of it. Hallelujah. God has sent me the Ark of the Covenant. But I want you to know, when they went out there and they grabbed that Ark of the Covenant, God struck them dead. One laid his hands on it, run over and laid his hands on it, grabbed it and thought it was going to bounce around a little too much, and God struck him dead. Another one grabbed it, God struck him dead. See, we get the feeling God's got to have us to keep the thing going. We get to think it too highly of ourselves. And God cuts us down when we do that. God doesn't need our help. God can do it all by himself. He desires our help, but he don't need our help. He said, where was you when I stretched out the heavens all by myself? Come on now. Somebody say, you mean when the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost stretched the heavens out? He didn't say anything about the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost stretching it out. He said, where was you when I stretched it out? You said, now you said there ain't no Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I didn't say any such thing. We're talking about what Jesus done. Is that right? When we talk about what the Holy Ghost done, we do talk about what the Holy Ghost done. But Jesus said, I did it all by myself. Hallelujah. Praise God, like they used to try to tell me about three gods being co-equal. I read in the Bible where he said, who's my equal? I know of none. Amen. Somebody's got their doctrine wrong. He said, there is no equal to me. I'm God by myself. Hallelujah. Where is my equal? Jesus said, show him to me. Praise God, there ain't never been nobody that ever went down the chambers of hell down there and done what Jesus done. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. You remember when the devil took Jesus, hung him down at Calvary, killed him, and took him down into hell? There never was such a day. There ain't never been no such a day as that. What it was, Jesus took him after the devil and run by Calvary and went down into hell behind him, got him down there and tied him in knots and took the keys and come back up, hallelujah, led captivity captive and gave gifts unto man. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. The devil's been shaking and trembling ever since. You talk about Jesus and he shakes and trembles. Hallelujah. It's no wonder some people don't want the name of Jesus in the church. There's so many devils and demons. They'd lose their meal ticket if they got him in there. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Son. I believe in the Holy Ghost. But I don't believe none of them works except through the name Jesus. None of them. Hallelujah. I read over there where Jesus said, or Paul spoke in the Revelation, said that the Lord Jesus is going to reign till he puts everything under his feet. And after he puts everything under his feet, he said the Father's going to take over and the Father's going to be everything. And even the Son's going to be subject to him. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's the Bible. That's what the book says. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody said, now wait just a minute. What are you talking about, Brother Pike? Jesus said, me and my Father one. Didn't he say, me and my Father one? How do you want to question that? Said, me and my Father one. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, when they saw Jesus, they saw God. Must have been something wrong with that. Jesus said, you've never seen his shape at any time. Standing right there talking to him and looking right at him. Said, you ain't never seen him. Hallelujah. Somebody say, glory. Hallelujah. And what is it? Somebody said, well, God and the Spirit's one. God and the Father's one. I believe that. Jesus said, my Father's one with me. Isn't that right? I believe that. But a lot of times we get to thinking too highly of ourselves and we forget where we're going and we think we know something and we don't know a lot of things that we ought to know. Isn't that right? You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? I mean, the Bible said God's a spirit. Come on. John 4:24, God's a spirit. Isn't that right? But when Jesus came up out of the grave, they thought of him. He said, a spirit. He said, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Yeah. Hallelujah, you're talking about my Father. But he said, this is me. Amen. The Son of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Feeling so much better. Let's go on talking about this good old way. Let's go on talking about God. Hallelujah. Amen. Now then, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, and he's got it all figured out. But the end of that way is death. You know what kind of way that is? Jesus said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. That's man's ways. That's the way man defined it. But see, when it speaks of the things of God, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. That's why Moses, when he went down in Egypt down there, went to have a little talk with Pharaoh. Things wasn't going too good down there. People of God was under bondage. God said, Moses, you need to go down there and do something about it. Moses said, God, well, they ain't going to listen to me. Well, here I am, a nobody, going down there talking to Pharaoh and him a king. Why, you know he ain't going to listen to me. Besides that, I can't speak too well, he said. God wanted to know who made his tongue. Amen. Isn't that right? God knows why he made him like he did. Said, God, what am I going to do if you don't believe me? Said, who am I going to tell him and sent me down there anyway? You know, you got to say Jimmy Carter or the Queen of England or somebody sent you. You start talking to dignitaries and you start talking to thousands of people and asking them people to follow you and go with you. You're going to have to tell them folks something. Isn't that right? Give up their businesses, give up their jobs, give up everything and just start following you. Here you are, nobody, and you just go over there and say, I'm over here. See, Moses said, Lord, it won't work like that. I've been down there in Egypt. I've been down there at the right hand of Pharaoh. I know what kind of system they got down there. Well, they'll never listen to that. But he said, Moses, I want you to go down there and tell Pharaoh I am sent you. Glory to God. Now, boy, that really personifies things, don't it? Don't go down there and tell him God sent you. Don't go down there and tell him Jesus sent you. Don't go down there and tell him the Holy Ghost sent you. Just go down there and say, look, Pharaoh, I am. That takes care of it. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. I am sent me. I am what I am by the grace of God. Hallelujah. You know, that's the way God wants to be represented. Isn't that right? You're the temple of the living God. See, God's in you. The Holy Ghost is in you. You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. When you go out yonder to fight the devil, don't go out there telling him that Jesus sent you or God sent you, somebody else sent you. Isn't that right? Amen. Jesus said, you go cast out the devils. Come on now. He said, you go heal the sick. Whosoever sins you remit shall be remitted. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound on earth. Is that right? So then God said for you to do it. Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. You don't really believe that. That's what the Bible said. Said he that God sends will speak God's word. That's what the book says. Amen. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I got one request. This is all I require. Say, what is that? Just do it in my name, that's all. Just do it in my name, that's all. Say, devil, come out of that woman. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I am a sent me. Hallelujah. See what God wants to do, children of God? He wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Bible say be said to be full of the Spirit. Is that right? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled with the Spirit of God. I like what Jesus did. The Bible teaches that the Spirit caught Jesus up and began to move Jesus. You know, Jesus had to grow up just like I did. Didn't Jesus have to grow up just like you? How do you believe it? Jesus had to grow just like you did. He was a little boy. See, he was a little baby. Somebody said, oh, when he's a baby, he knew he was God. Well, you don't believe that. Come on now. Come on, how in the world could he have been a little baby and know he was God? Come on now. You think he was already brushing his teeth and combing his hair? Clipping his toenails when he was born? Oh, you know better than that. Come on now. He was a human being just like I'm a human being. If he hadn't have been a human being, he couldn't have done what he'd done. He couldn't atone for sin. The Bible said he grew in the grace and knowledge of God. He increased in wisdom. He increased in favor with man and God. Isn't that right? He grew just like I'm growing. He learned obedience just like I learned obedience. The Bible said though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the thing that he suffered. Amen. He didn't have to do it, but to be my example, he had to do it. To feel my infirmities, he had to do it. So he had to grow up just like I'm growing up. Amen. By the time he was 12 years old, I think he had done got some ideas, don't you? Amen. When he sat there in the temple with them doctors of philosophy, and he sat there and he began to talk with them, and some of them said, "See here, what you doing here? You young upstart." That's about the way they thought about it. And he said, "Well, let's have a little talk. Let's just have a little conversation. Hallelujah! Let me give you a little rundown on Moses and the prophets. Let me tell you about Elijah." And he gave them a little rundown. And their eyes got bigger, no doubt, and bigger. And one of them probably looked at the other, and he looked at the other, and looked around and said, "My God, what's going on here? What's going on here? I must be slipping. Am I hearing that kid over there say the things that I'm hearing him say, or I think I'm hearing him say?" Amen. Jesus is just a preaching away, and when somebody crossed him, he just waxed bold and say, "You just don't know the scriptures." Can't you just imagine that? A young fellow with the elders saying, "You just don't know the word of God." They must have felt so insulted. Jesus said, "If you sit down and listen, I'll tell you something." Glory to God. What if he come along today? What if he come along today? If he come along today, them pastors, you know, and them preachers and them evangelists and all them folks, you know, they say, "Who does he think he is? Who is that fella? Lord of God, where'd he come from?" Amen. He walk up to one of them bishops of today and say, "Sir, don't mean to insult you, but you just err. You don't know the scriptures." Amen. Right. Christ say, "My land, where did that little fella come from?" Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What is it? Christ Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said Jesus is still here today. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And he began to talk to them, and they began to say, "My, what is this? What is this?" See, Jesus, the mighty Jesus, God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost, folks. He wants you to be a testimony. The Spirit of God began to move Jesus. He grew up and he began to realize who he was. He began to realize that he was the Son of God. Hallelujah. That's what I've been doing. Have you been doing that? I said, I've been growing up and realizing I'm the Son of God. Come on now. The Bible said Adam was the Son of God. Isn't that right? I've been growing up realizing I'm the Son of God. And the more you realize you're the Son of God, the more you realize that all of this world belongs to you and not to Jimmy Carter and the other folks. Isn't that right? I said, you soon learn it don't belong to the rich man of this world. It belongs to God's sons and daughters. Praise God. But if you be good, I'll let you stay down here with me. But you're going to have to behave yourself. Don't be getting out of sorts. Hallelujah. We'll have to excommunicate you. You know how to do in the big churches. You don't do like they want you to, they'll excommunicate you. If you don't do like we sons want you to, we'll excommunicate you. Put you on the outside in the dark where there ain't no light. Somebody say, "I love Jesus." Now somebody said, "Now, Brother Pike, you ain't got the power to do that." The Bible said, "Turn them over to the devil for the destruction of the flesh. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven." Is that right? "I will remit sins if you remit them. I will retain their sins if you retain them." Whatever you say about it, that's the way it'll be. Them sons have a lot of authority, isn't that right? When we come into sonship, when we come to the place to win it, we realize who we are. That don't mean that we get puffed up vainly by our fleshly mind and go around beating on folks. It don't mean that we go around kicking folks around. It means the love of God wells up within us and we love them the more and we reach out to get them. Like a vision I had one time. I had this vision. I was looking out there and I saw freaks everywhere. Just many, many freaks. Everywhere there was freaks. There was nothing but heads with little old legs on them just running around everywhere. Arms just running around everywhere with little old legs on them. I thought, my God, what a nightmare. And I saw them freaks just running everywhere. And all of a sudden I saw a great big hand move out in the middle of them like this. It went out and it got a great part of them and it cut them off like that and drawed them over to me, over where I was. And then when I looked, this great big part of the freaks was drawn over to me. All of a sudden their hands come out and their bodies come out and they begin to be whole men and women. Look whole and nice and beautiful. Hallelujah. But the rest of the freaks was carried away with the great hand. So that's the way it is. See, to the world or to God, the world's just a big bunch of freaks. Unless you're in the presence of God, unless you're in the blessings of God, you're just a big bunch of freaks. The Bible speaks of them people that will not submit to the leadership of God. And the Bible said, in the morning, which means the resurrection, I will despise thine image. Why will God despise their image? Because they're bastard children. They're made in the image of the devil. They don't have the seed of God within them. They're not born of the Holy Ghost. They're not sons and daughters of God. They're in the image of the beast. And in the morning, God said, I hate those people. You know what we try to do? We try to make ourselves believe that God loves everybody. Somebody said, I love Jesus. And somebody said, well, now praise God, God loves everybody. Where'd you read it in the book? See, he said, preach the Bible. Preach the word, didn't he? It don't read like that in the book. It don't read like that. You know, the preachers of today, they got lots of income from people that just won't live right. They just won't do right. They just won't turn the world loose. And they don't want to lose them, and they don't want to lose their meal ticket. And they want a big church with a big congregation, and they're afraid they'll take one up, two or three others will leave. Isn't that right? So they hesitate to preach the truth. Am I telling you right? Is that right? So they say, beloved, God loves everybody. But that is a lie. God does not love everybody. To the contrary, God says, I am angry with the wicked every day. Every day. I'm angry with the wicked on Monday. I'm angry with the wicked on Tuesday. I'm angry with the wicked every day in the week. Come on now. Somebody said, well, the wicked say a prayer to every once in a while. God, he'll change his mind. The Bible said the prayer of the wicked is abomination in my sight. I am angry with the wicked every day. And every time they pray, their prayers are abomination in my sight. Not only that, somebody said, but now wait a minute, Brother Pye. You got to have them few dollars that them wicked folks give in. It don't matter if they sell whiskey, beer, whatever they do. Isn't that right? Come on now. But the Bible said the offering of the wicked is abomination in my sight. Can't you just see all these evangelists just saying, bless God, you better give. God's going to take this away from you. God's going to take that away from you. God's going to do that. God ain't going to do none of that. God asked for a free will offering. He didn't ask the wicked for nothing. He's not asking the wicked today. He didn't ask the wicked yesterday. He won't ask the wicked tomorrow to support the cause of God. Amen. When God gets ready for an increase, he'll multiply the fishes and the loaves. He said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you for anything. And he wasn't talking about the church either. He was talking about the wicked. Is that right? I'm the one that owns the cattle of 10,000 hills. I own all the gold and silver. The stars are mine. Hallelujah. What did he say about the wicked then? He must feel different about the wicked to what the preachers say that he does. How does he feel about them then? The Bible said, I will pursue the wicked till the wicked perish from off the face of the earth. That's what I think about the wicked. When I send the wrecks, I'll cut the wicked down. When I send the earthquakes, I'll cut the wicked down. When I send the epidemics, I'll cut the wicked down. I'm going to pursue the wicked till they perish from off the face of the earth. I'm never going to rest day nor night till every wicked person is dead and dispersed from among men. Is that right? All right, why do we tell the people then that God loves everybody? We try to mix darkness with light. We confuse the people. Somebody said, well, and Brother Pike said that God loves this man up here. He got millions of dollars over here, and he sucks on a weed, and he goes out here and frolics on the beach, and he runs around in his shorty shorts and his wife in her shorty shorts, and they're going to heaven just like we are. I don't see why we should worry all about this thing called holiness. Why worry about that thing? And the poor little old child of God gets so confused, they don't know which way they're going, you know. They don't know what it's all about. And all of a sudden they decide, well, maybe that's all right. We can do the same thing. And God grabs them and begins to shake them up. And they say, wait a minute, something's wrong. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. They say it's all right, but there's something wrong with it. I can't go that way. I can't go that way. When that Ark of the Covenant got over there among them wicked people back out there, you know what began to happen? That Ark of the Covenant got over there and they began to shout and jump and have a good time. Come on now. I said the religious world of that day began to have a good time and say, you see that God don't favor them holiness folks. You see where that Ark of the Covenant is. We're on television. Come on now. Hallelujah. We're getting 30,000. Hallelujah. Millions coming into us. You see that bunch of holy rollers. God don't care nothing about them. You see how he went off and forsook them. So they begin to have them a shouting good time. And the emrods hit them and the scab hit them. All of a sudden trouble began to happen. Somebody said, our hospitals ain't enough. We better build some more. Amen. We better build some more. Better take out some more insurance. This thing getting bad. Somebody said, well, don't get alarmed. That's the heart. We got some PhDs over here. They're professors. They go to church. They know what to tell us. And somebody said, well, what it is, you're Methodist. We ought to be a Baptist. Come on now. Amen. And the priest, the Catholic priest, said, well, I think both of you is wrong. Well, the trouble is you need to belong to the Catholic Church. Hallelujah. But God said, all of you are wrong. There's only one way to worship God. That's in the spirit of holiness. Be ye holy, for I'm holy, the Bible said. Worship God in the spirit of holiness. Perfecting holiness in your lives and your bodies. Be holy in body and in spirit. Boy, they kept on trying to do that thing over there their way until finally it looked like the whole country was going to die of diseases. You know, there's disease everywhere. Ain't enough doctors, ain't enough hospitals, ain't enough insane asylums, ain't enough prisons, ain't enough whatever there is. Training schools or whatever. Isn't that right? They say there's a statistical report that people are going heathen and paganistic faster than they can civilize them anymore. What is it? They got the Ark of the Covenant out there. Some of them say, Brother Pike, you really believe they have? The Bible said they've taken God's Ark by force. Is that right? And the kingdom of God, they've taken it by force, the Bible said. Is that right? The devils and demons and powers of Satan is closed in through the intellectual mind. And they've gotten around to everything that could be godly. And they've taken it by force that it suffers violence at the hand of men. And that violence taken it by force. But see, the Bible teaches there's another day coming. There's a better day coming. It said this light is shining more and more toward that perfect day. There's a millennium coming. It's called the perfect day. And the day starts going to dawn within your heart. The Bible teaches that if we overcome, by and by out of our heart, he will give us the morning star, the bright morning star, which is Christ, the hope of glory. And he'll shine out of us in the revelational knowledge of Jesus. Is that right? And he'll bring in that perfect day. Hallelujah. Called the millennium. God's going to bring it in. A day with God is as 1,000 years. He's going to bring in that perfect day. And then God's going to have that Ark of the Covenant with the right people. And everything's going to start going right in the earth. He's going to have the right government. He's going to have the right people at the head of the government. Everything's going to be better than it was before. While philosophers and PhDs try to figure it out, they're going to find out that just being religious ain't good enough. Those Philistines finally learned over there that every one of them was going to die unless they got rid of that thing. Somebody said, I'm tired of being Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian. I'm going to get my shorty shorts and we're going to do our thing and we're going to do what we want to do. And them folks over there, a bunch of Holy Rollers, can have this religious thing. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good days are coming. Good days are coming. They say, give it back to them. We don't know how to worship this thing. Folks, you got to know how to worship. Did you know that? You got to know how to worship God. You got to know how to worship the Word of God. You got to know how to worship the Spirit of God. You come into the presence of the Spirit of God in your way and God will kill you. Did you know that? Somebody said, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. God's not bloodthirsty. God's not some God that's standing up there ready to kill everybody that does wrong. That's where you're wrong. Somebody said, no, I thought sure you'd take the other path. That's where you're wrong. God is standing up there ready to kill everybody that does wrong and said, I will pursue them that do wrong till I kill every last one of them. Is that right? Why did he say that? Somebody said, well, some folks just can't help but do wrong. The Bible teaches all we got to do is have faith in God and all our wrongs is gone. Just have faith in God and all of our wrongs is gone. He purifies our hearts by faith. If you're doing wrong, it's just because you don't want to do right. Somebody said, I just can't quit sucking on weeds. I just can't quit nipping the bottle. The Bible said, draw nigh to God, resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you. If you'll draw nigh to God and resist the devil, you can get him away from you. Somebody said, well, I got to have a man of God to pray the prayer of faith. I admit the man of God can cast out the devils. I admit the man of God can pray for you and strengthen your faith in God. But I also admit that you can resist the devil, and the devil will flee from you too. Hallelujah. Praise God. Feeling so much better. Talking about Jesus. See, what we need to do is get rid of corruption. I'm going to close out in just a few minutes. Hold on now. Don't run off and leave me. All right. So then there is a right way. There's a clean way. There's a tent that God pitched. And that ark belongs in God's tent. This tabernacle. This tent. Is that right? And God don't want us messing with it. Can I get a little swallow of water? Have you give me just a few more minutes? All right, I know some of you are going to run off and leave me anyway. You don't do it anyway. But how about holding on just a few minutes here? Let me get a little water. And I like to say a thing until you probably, some of you probably get upset at me, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's last night anyway. You have to run me down. And somebody said, Brother Pike, you know ain't nobody going to do that. Night before last, I had a vision. I looked back and saw a man with his crew. And he was upset at me. Oh, brother, he was upset at me. He was upset so much at me, he just wanted to bop me right in the nose. And all them that was with him did. Hallelujah. But it was like I had a spaceship and I got on board just in time to lock the door and take off where it could get to me. Hallelujah. Somebody say, you wouldn't run, would you, Brother Pike? Elijah did. Depends on where I'm at and who's after me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. All right. So then there's the right way. There's the wrong way. There's the way that we can go, Christian friend, that God will bless. There's the way that we can go that God will curse. The Lord said, I have cursed your blessings. Think about that. I have cursed your blessings. Little children are blessings, but they've been cursed. Little legs twisted up. Little bodies twisted up. All because of you and your wrongdoings. I am the God that visits the iniquities of the fathers down upon the children to the first, of third, and fourth generation. Why is that? Not because God desired to do that, but because of heredity. That thing will come down three or four generations and you will inherit it in the bloodstream. That man back yonder will sin and carry on with dope and liquor and whatever, and then finally come down to some poor, helpless little baby. Coming on down, they have to pick it up and carry it. But someday them little twisted legs are going to be turned loose. Sometime, somewhere, that little old afflicted mind is going to be turned loose. And that person that wouldn't resist the devil, that gave place to the devil, God's going to tear him up. Cast him into the lake of fire. You better wise up and get right with God. You know, the problem is, we're still having a battle with the devil. Isn't that right? The devil is real. We're still having a battle with the devil. Things are still going on. Having a battle with the devil. You know where one of the big troubles is? How you know that over there in that garden that that serpent gave trouble? He gave trouble in the garden, didn't he? He the old serpent. He was the one that gave trouble in the garden. How you know that the great pyramid of Egypt was built with a direction turned toward the star Drakon? The old serpent, the old devil. Got a great significance. I wish we had time to bring it out here tonight, but we don't. See, the serpent is still in the land. The serpent is still in the land. A crooked, perverse generation is still in the land. How can you recognize him, Brother Pike? The Bible said when God cursed him, he said, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Everywhere you find him, he's on his belly. He's got to eat, he's got to drink, he's got to glutton, he's always on his belly. And the Bible said all of their labors of their belly are for their belly, because their belly craves it of them. Talking about the old serpent now. Don't know how to fast, don't know how to do without a meal, don't know how to turn away from the things of the world. Isn't that right? The Bible said God put him on his belly. And you can recognize him because he's always on his belly. All he does is eat and drink. Did you know that? That old gut down in there is coiled up like a big snake. Did you know that? Coiled up like a big snake and it don't never get full. Amen. It don't never get full. You drink a chocolate milk and you want a Coca-Cola. You drink a Coca-Cola and you'd like to have a Dr. Pepper. Come on now, get a Dr. Pepper and you think you'll try a Mountain Dew. That's right. What is it? The serpent's on his belly. That's all he knows is his belly. All of his labor's for his belly. Because his belly craves it of him. Everything he does. Now listen. This don't sound too much like a PhD. But I'm a country boy anyway. So you just have to suffer my manners like they did John the Baptist. All right. What is it? You work hard on a job. You make some money. Why do you make that money? So that you can get a car. What you want with the car? So you can ride your belly. Come on now. And somebody said, well, I don't ride all that much. But somebody, they put it in a home. Why do they buy a home? So they can get a bed. Why do they want a bed? So they can rest their belly. Why is that? They're going to ride their belly a little, rest their belly a little, so their belly can get up in the morning and they can feed their belly some breakfast. Amen. They feed their belly all day long till their belly gets tired. So they take him back and lay him back down to rest so he can rest till the next morning so they can feed their belly some more. Amen. But one of these days, there's the end of the trail coming. There's an end of the trail coming. Did you know that? One of these days, the belly's going to run out. That's right. The old serpent's on his belly. That's all he knows to do. The Bible said God put him on his belly. But you know, when they come over there to Jesus and they said, look, said, we got something for the belly. Jesus said, I got some meat you don't know nothing about. The belly don't eat this kind of meat I'm talking about. Paul said the meat is for the strong. Hallelujah. They who are by reasoning exercise their senses to be able to discern between the good and the evil. I'm talking about some meat from heaven. That's why I said, bring all the offerings, all the tithes into the storehouse. Prove me herewith, saith the Lord. I want meat in my house, God said. I want some meat in my house. Something that don't go to the belly. For the meat of the serpent shall be the dust out of the garden, out of the ground, whether it be bread or whatever. Eat of the dust all the days of your life. Isn't that right? A lot of things I'd like to say tonight. I longed to get into Revelation in this meeting, but I just dropped in a little bit here and there because I know that it's so hard to do that. So hard to do that. But folks, let me tell you, there's a right way. There's a real tent. And God don't want David messing with the ark. He don't want Brother Pike messing with the ark. He don't want you messing with the ark. He don't want you to let everything get shaky, you know. And you look over at it and say, my God, we better go down here and see if we can't get the state overseer to give us an extra $1,000. We're going to go under. Come on now. Asa said that group looks pretty big coming up over there. I talked about this last night. Said we better call on the king of Syria and see if he can't give us a helping hand. And the Bible said his heart had been perfect with God all the days of his life until his 36th year of reign. And then when Asa took that outlook that he was going to depend on the arm of flesh, God sent a little prophet over there, and that prophet stood up before him and said, thus saith the Lord. Said because you lean upon the arm of the flesh from now on, you're going to have to fight battle after battle. You're going to have to have war after war. Said, I took the big armies and I subdued them to you when you trusted in God. Folks, let me tell you something. If you start trusting in God for that disease you got, it'll get away from you. Did you know that? The Bible said God smote Asa in his feet with a disease because he wouldn't do right. He took the seer and put the seer in jail because the seer tried to tell him the truth. Somebody said, but I'm a religious person. The Bible said Asa's heart was perfect before God all the days of his life up until that time. See, if you'll quit depending on the doctors, if you'll quit depending on medicine, you say, now, Brother Pike, you think I ought to not take any medicine, I ought to not go to the doctor, that's all right, that's your business if you want to do that. They can help you. They can help you. You take a woman, she can go to the doctor can help her, medicine doeth good. Did you know that? The Bible said a mere heart doeth good like a medicine. God gave the medicine. It doeth good, but he gave the medicine. Isn't that right? Didn't say nothing about the doctor, but he did give us some medicine. But the doctor knows that's his meal ticket, so he fixes it where you can't get it unless you go through him. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Take your lady over there to him, and your wife, he can help her. He'll make a prostitute out of her before he does. Strip her off and everything else, and she ain't fit for nothing as far as what he's seen. Somebody said, he's a doctor. To me, he's a man. Amen. Somebody said, well, everybody under honor understand that, Brother Pike. In the Old Testament, they didn't do that way. The Bible said when they brought their babies, they had midwives. Amen. And the Bible said they delivered quickly. They didn't have to go through a lot of pain, a lot of trouble. Amen. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I might say, you sure enough must be for the from the country. I am. Hallelujah. Like Moses out there, somebody said, Brother Pike, what do you think we do with all of our modern machinery, our modern hospitals? What do you think we do if we didn't have our modern Cadillacs? And I got a Cadillac, I thank the Lord for it. I use it every chance I get. Now, what would we do, Brother Pike, without our great universities? Well, let's see. The Bible said Moses took a few million out in the wilderness. No factories, no universities, no hospitals, no doctors. Come on now. Took them out in the wilderness. The Bible said there wasn't a sick one among them. Hallelujah! Said their feet never did swell. Hallelujah! Their garments didn't wax old. Then it looks like God don't need all of that. It seems like you and I is the one that needs all that. And it looks like we need all that because we turned our faith in the wrong direction. It's like I told somebody here a while back. I said we let the welfare take care of the poor and the needy. And as a consequence of that, God give the money to the welfare and just did it to the church. I told my people down there at Little Bethlehem, I said, let's us take care of the poor, and God turned to us. He said, our Brother Pike, it'll never be. But we started taking care of the poor, and it wasn't long before the welfare called us. They called us a number of times and said, would you please take care of these people over here and give us a helping hand? Come on now. And the praise goes to God instead of the welfare. And God blesses the church. Amen. That's the way it works. As the Bible said, I believe it like the book says, don't you? All right. So it's wonderful to be a Christian. All this that you got that you can use, use it. Don't get nothing of the world unless you're dedicated to God and unless God gives it to you. Don't touch the things out there in the world. All them things in the world belongs to the devil. Don't you mess with them. If God gives you something, he'll sanctify it. Hallow it. You just seek the kingdom, he'll add it to you. Then you can prize it for God's sake, use it for God's sake, and love heaven. Don't love the world, love heaven. Place your affection on things above. I know things on the earth, the Bible said a wise man esteemeth those things. Isn't that right? They're precious in his sight. I believe they're precious in his sight. But it said, love not the world or the things of the world. Just use them for the glory of God. Love God and the things in heaven. Will you stand with me? Out of just so much more I need to say. I noticed those other tents had come out here, got to write up in the paper. I was reading it today, my wife was too. Got to write up in the paper, this lady that lives back up here, maybe a fine person, I don't know. I guess it depends on how you look at fine people. But she said, if it didn't stop down here, she's going to turn some rats loose down here under the tent. Said she thought about a number of things she could do, and she named over some of the horrible things that she had in mind. She tried to get in touch with them back over here somewhere, the police and everybody else, and they said they couldn't help her. And she said that lady, what was the name that was here to start with? Some of you know, I'm sure. She was down here. Yeah, that's her. That's her. She was upset at her. Said she made too much noise. And then this last brother, who was it? Brother Atkins said he made too much noise. And said all them in between make too much noise, the way she put it. So I thought I was real fortunate. I got the paper out before they got mine in there. Amen. Got all of them but me. Now they might run a special edition, but they got every one of them but me. When it got down to Brother Axon, they stopped. Didn't say nothing about us. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Hallelujah. You know, I don't mean it's wrong, but the papers usually don't give you a write-up unless your tent gets tore up or something bad happens. I can't say that about all papers. We've had numbers of write-ups. Sometimes they give us two or three pages in the newspaper, and I mean write good articles about us. But I have been where my tent would have to go down before I'd ever get a write-up, get my picture in the paper. But you know, I don't feel hard at the lady. She said she can't sleep, said her children have to go to sleep at 8 o'clock. And of course, that sounds a little early for television shows, but nevertheless, she says hers do that. And the first I heard of doing it, I'll be honest with you, out of all my travels, I never heard of kids going to sleep at 8 o'clock. Now, they might do it, But you'd do good if you even have them home at 8 o'clock, even if they ain't about 12 or 13 years old. But anyway, I don't fall out with her. That's her business, you know. She said that they're making too much noise for her down here. And that's her business. And she's thinking about putting rats in and everything else. But I tell you the way I feel. And of course, I say this. That's probably why my tent's spotted up on the side. Some of them folks come down here and they bagged up some oil and they bagged up some ink and they bagged up some kerosene and they throw it on the end of the tent and they really messed it up over here. Thousands of dollars. They messed it up. Just one section cost thousands of dollars. And they messed it up. This tent ain't very old. Ain't been up about 8 times. But messed it up. But I don't feel bad at them. I never even feel hard at them. Never feel hurt at them. See, the Lord will take care of all that. He's got a reason for it. But I tell you what, we need to be careful whose tent we touch. Did you know that? Come on now. We need to be careful. I set my tent up down in a place one time over in Georgia. I set it up down there, and there's a young rich man, exceedingly wealthy, that was right there close by. Had a little league ball team. He let them go into my tent, take the chairs out for the little league ball team, and throw great big rocks and knock holes in it. I tried to keep the love of God, and I feel bad at him. And I just prayed. The Lord said, don't worry about it, son. He said, all right, I'm in it. He said, just don't move the tent. He said, leave it there. I thought, that's strange. He said, leave it there for a testimony against him. In a few days, they buried the rich young ruler. Dead. Everybody marveled. Nothing wrong with him. Had a big auction block out there, but God buried him, put him in the ground. See, it don't pay to do wrong, does it? It don't pay to do wrong. Like I said this a number of times, building a church down there, and a man got up and prophesied. Said the Lord told him that I'd be dead before the top went on. I said, I'm sure sorry he said that, because he's really in for trouble. Because usually the things that people prophesy against others come right back on him. Before the top went on the building, he was dead. He was a preacher, a young preacher, but he was killed in a wreck. You need to be careful whose tent you mess with and whose people you mess with. Be sure, don't touch mine anointed. Don't put your hand on the ark. Don't get the idea that you got to help the ark, that it's going to go down. You got to go over here and get the flesh to help it. God don't want the wicked messing with it. He can take care of what he's got. All right. I don't know how we got off on that subject. But nevertheless, the lady needs to be careful what she's saying and what she's publishing in the paper. You know what she needs to do is just sell that house to some good Holy Ghost-filled person. Amen. Get her a place somewhere else, you know, quiet. And let some good Holy Ghost filled person up there, and they'll just shout and holler with us. Amen. Amen. I'm like, are you talking about him holiness people? I know Baptist people is full of the Holy Ghost. Baptist preachers. I know Methodist people full of the Holy Ghost. I know Catholic people is full of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about them holiness people. Amen. I know businessmen. Praise God, I go into the bank, and sometimes the banker will get me off in the corner and say, don't you forget to pray for me. I say, don't you forget to pray. You get down on your knees and pray, and it'll do you good too. Come back, he said, well, I took your advice. I say, what? He said, I got down on my knees and prayed. I said, it helped, didn't it? Yes, sir. God wants to save us all, folks. Isn't that right? But we all got to come the same route. There ain't no 4 or 5 doors to heaven. How many of you believe there's 4 or 5 doors? Somebody go up here to this door and say this, and somebody go to this door and say that denomination. Somebody, this over here, it's just going to be one. It's going to say, Jesus, I'm the door. That's the only door. Amen. That's right. That's going to be the only password. If you don't have that, then you ain't going to get past. That's right. That's the password from this world into the next one. If you want to get in the Spirit, you got to go by the Son. Isn't that right? Amen. All right. God bless your hearts. It's been a wonderful thing for me to be here with you. It's just been a wonderful time. Felt such a wonderful spirit. You've had such a lovely spirit. Not fighting, not bickering, not backbiting. As I preach, I've not felt you swell up at me, you know. I've had one or two to leave me. I've had one or two to leave me. But like I said, we just kind of disagreed with each other and they went their way. Now, I don't mean it's wrong now. But the Bible says that God's fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor. You know, they take the old winnowing fans and they'll just fan. They'll jump on that wheat and then they'll just trample it around and knock all the chaff off of it. And then the grain's heavy enough, it'll just lay there. And when them winnowing fans go over it like this, all the chaff will jump up. Isn't that right? When God takes his fan, he begins to go to the floor. All the chaff begins to jump up. And then the contrary winds of doctrines and ideas blow it all away. And ain't nothing left but the wheat. Isn't that right? That's what God's doing. Fan is in his hand, he shall thoroughly purge his floor. Gather swede into the garners and burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. Let's sing a little chorus together. Praise God, I love you. You remain standing with me for just a little bit. Forgive me, I get you standing, and I don't mean to keep you standing like that, but I'm standing, and I forget about you standing, and I may keep you standing when I don't mean to do that. Now tonight's the last night of the revival. I had a great turnover here. Had a lot of different people coming under the tent. Been fine, good people. And I used to say, well, Brother Pike, you don't know whether them people are of God or not. I don't know whether they're of God or not. That might be true. But I know whether or not they listen to God, because the Bible said it's not you speaking, but the Heavenly Father speaking. And the Heavenly Father's been speaking here, because I made it my business since I've been in Charlotte to stay in touch with the Heavenly Father, so it would be the Heavenly Father speaking, because he's the only one that's got anything to say anyway. And I know he's been speaking, and I know people have been listening. I know that. They've been listening. And in that they've been listening, well, I know that they've been reverent. And I know that means a lot to God. That means a lot to God. So then, I trust that God will do something special for you people here. And Charlotte, I'm trusting that God will bless Charlotte, magnify it and lift it up, and give a great strength here. There's been a lot of division in Charlotte, Gastonia, and the different areas around about, from what I can understand. And God wants to bless it. God wants to help it. God wants to strengthen it. Now, if we don't give him a chance to do that, children of God, you know what the next step is, don't you? If you won't let God bless you, there ain't but one other way. The Bible said, I lead my people by two staffs. One's called beauty, one's called bands. The one's band answers to bondage. The law, you can serve it two ways, either by obedience, submission, willingness, or by constraint, being put in prison. But one way or another, you serve the law. The same way with God. You serve God one way or another. You take your liberty, take your sovereignty, go where you want to, do what you want to, but you're still serving God, in that the Bible teaches that God is leading you into temptation. And they that are abhorred to the Lord is despised of God, and they shall fall into the ditch. And the ditch is the great whore, and the great whore is the carnal mind that caused the fall in the garden. Is that right? All right. Lean not to your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Believe in him. He'll bring it to pass. Just trust in him. So then, if we don't take the staff called beauty, then we'll have to take the one called bands. Isn't that right? So let's take the one called beauty. If you are a dentist, be a godly dentist. If you are a doctor, be a godly doctor. I have went into dentists' offices before they'd ever even go to do anything. They said, come on, Brother Pike, and let's praise God. And we'd all start speaking in tongues and praising God. Friend, doctor friends of mine, I have been in places where some of them are ministers. I take their meeting where they couldn't take it at a certain time. Medical doctor. Praise God, speak in tongues and have a good time. Is that right? All kind of people love God. All kind of people. God's got some of them like Esther that's in the government today. But I tell you, after a while, God's going to give a shaking, and ain't nothing going to be left in the government but them. Ain't nothing going to be left in this world but them. All the rest of them going to be a bunch of fallen stars. God's going to turn it upside down and shake the whole thing out. I went over to Kentucky, Fort Knox, Kentucky. Had a little problem. I went up there and I couldn't get things going right, so I contacted Washington. That tore them all up. They said, man, said, you're bringing smoke down on us up here. I said, I want to see the general. Lord, they told me, like some big fella, you know, like a great king, you couldn't see him. I said, I want to see him anyway. So I invited myself to see the general. And I went through the offices, and they stood there and looked at me as I went through the different offices. You know, I said, hello. I went in and seen the general, and he just sat there and stared at me. He didn't know what to do. And I told him what I was there for. And I said, sir, besides that, we're children of God. I'm a son of God. Of course, you know the children of God own all the world. I said, you got a good position in here, and you can keep it as long as you please God. I said, but be sure you do the right thing, because one of these days we're going to get rid of all of you, get all of you out of here, if you don't do what God wants you to do. He was so shook up, he didn't know what to do. But did you know he'd done what I asked him to do? He got down to business. He got down to business. That's right. I just told him in so many words, I said, that's the way it's going to be. I don't mean to insult you. I don't mean to hurt you. I know you're a big figure. But you know that don't mean nothing to God. Isn't that right? Don't mean nothing to God. He got down to business. I said, I want a certain thing done. I want it done. And I've asked God to do it. And I said, it's going to be done. So he done it. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I went before the colonels and before the captain, before the sergeants, just by the slews. And some of them raised up at me like a kitty with a sore paw. I said, you just listen. I come here to tell you. I want you to listen. They didn't like that because they was used to telling everybody else, but they listen. I said, in the first place, I'm not a soldier. You can't tell me nothing. You listen to me. I'm a minister of the gospel. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, Jimmy Carter and the rest needs to listen to the preacher. In the old days, they listened to the prophets. The prophets didn't listen to them. The prophets told the kings what to do. That's what you need to do, children of God. You're sons and daughters of God. You're the ones that's running this thing. The Bible said that they'll press you and wear you out, wear the saints of God out. But after a while, the saints of God are going to realize who they are, and they're going to rise up and take the kingdom. Did you know that? Now, we're the ones that's running this thing down here. The president ain't running it. The governors ain't running it. We're the ones that own it. Somebody said, just make-believe. No make-believe about it. I said, we own it lock, stock, and barrel. It's time they listen to us. And they will if you'll stand up. But as long as they feel like they can put their finger on the end of your nose and you'll shut up, they'll do it. I've had some rounds, I'll tell you. I won't let you sit down a minute. Just, I told a policeman one time, he come around giving me some problems. And I told him how I felt about it. He laid his hands on his gun. Told me how he felt, and I told him what he's going to do and what he wasn't going to do, and he laid his hand on his gun and said, like that, said, I come to do such and such, and I'm going to do it if, and said, I don't want you preaching to me. I said, it don't make no difference if you don't. I'm a God-sent man, and I'm going to preach to you whether you like it or don't like it. I said, God said, preach the gospel to every creature. And I preached the gospel to him. He went on his way. Hallelujah. Sheriff come out one day, I had my tin up. He told me, he said, you're going to have to quieten this thing down. I said, well, we're not making any noise. We're trying to be good citizens, do what's right, not trying to bother anybody. He said, you're going to have to quieten it down. I said, now just wait a minute. I said, let's just me and you have a little talk. I said, right over here in town, they're having a football game and a parade and whatever. Whatever it was, I said, they're parading up and down there in mini skirts and everything else. I said, you ain't said nothing about it. I can hear the bandwagon slap over here. I said, the football team, they're hollering so loud, I can hear it slap over the tent. I said, now let me tell you something. I said, God is the spirit of life. I said, and right now he's going in and out your nose and your nostrils. And if you want to break fellowship with him, I'll just tell him and just stop it right there. He went on his way and he didn't bother me no more. I didn't have to cut nothing down. I said, if you're tired of God's fellowship, we can do away with it. Hallelujah! I'm talking about the God we serve. Hallelujah! Praise God. The captain thought he had control, but Paul said, I talked to the angel of God, who I am and whom I serve. He told me to take this boat over. You can call it mutiny if you want to, but from here on I'm in charge. Hallelujah! I tell you what, time God got through, them people would have thrown the captain overboard if you hadn't listened to Paul. Don't you love Jesus? He said, if you obey me, I'll put the fear of the world, all of the fear of you upon the world. All of the world will be afraid of you. The fear upon the world, he said. Is that right? Every one of them. If you'll obey me, I'll put the fear of you upon everybody out there. Banker, doctor, preacher, whatever, if they're not living for God, I'll make them shake and shake in their boots. That's right. told us the other night, and I'm going to shut up here. But I had a man to write me a discrediting letter, and back during the recession, I had bought a Lincoln and give it to a preacher. Got a little bit behind with it, just about had it paid for. And the recession hit, and he wrote me a discrediting letter, said some ugly things, and I sat down and I wrote him a letter. I didn't get ugly. I don't believe you have to get ugly. And I said, "Dear sir, there was a man like you in the Bible." And I said, "He came up to a certain place and against a certain man called Hezekiah." I said, "And he boasted about what he'd do." I said, "And God told the preacher to tell him that he'd put a hook in his nose and take him back to where he went to." I said, "If you keep on, God will stick a hook in your nose and take you back to where you belong." And when I got a chance, I went over and personally visited with him and went through a chain of command to get to him, big executive in the Ford company. I sat down and I told him, and this is what I told him. I said, "You let me tell you something." I said, "Just because you're sitting there behind that desk and you're carrying on this big operation don't mean that you don't have a responsibility to God." I said, "I'm a preacher out here trying to win souls and trying to do something for God, and you're sitting back over here not doing nothing." I said, "You need to do something for God." I said, "It's your responsibility too to win souls." I said, "God put you in this world to help just like he did me. And he's no respecter of person." I said, "And in the day of judgment, God's going to require it of you." And he was so tore up, he didn't know what to do. Finally, he got real nice to me, just as sweet as honey. I went on my way and left, and about a week or two later, there came a report. Somebody said, "That man's looking for you." He come over to another town, and finally he found me. He said, "Preacher, I got to talk to you. I got to talk to you." I said, "What's the matter with you?" He said, "Man," said, "ever since you come into that office, that I've been tore to pieces. Said they've sent me to a psychiatrist. I can't get myself together. Said they've let me take weeks off. I still can't get myself together. And said I'm over here asking you to help me get myself together." He said, "I'm about to go crazy." Said, "I don't know what's wrong with me." I said, "I know what's wrong with you. You just need to get right with God." Just a simple little thing like getting right with God. He said, "Well, whatever it is," said, "I want to do it." I said, "All right, let's just get right down here and get right with God." He got down there and got right with God, and things began to shape up, and he went on his way. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Can I tell us just one more thing? I had a little problem with a lawyer. I was trying to help somebody. And we was down in a little old place there. They was having court. Had a little differences. I sat there and I listened to the crooked deal that they're carrying on. They're trying to pin this boy down and just make this boy plead guilty to such and such and pay a big fine, and that was it. And I sat there, and every time I started to say something, I'd say, "Brother Pike, shut up. Be quiet. It's none of your business." And I sat there until I couldn't take no more. And finally, God got a hold to my heart, and I got up and I said, "Sir, he don't have to do that if he don't want to do that, and he ain't going to do that until he gets ready to do that, whether you're the judge or whoever likes it." That lawyer flew up out of his seat and turned around at me and said, "Let me tell you such and such." And I said, "Let me tell you such and such." And I tell you what, he started at me with the law and I started him with the rod. And I preached the gospel of Christ to him. And he got him so shook up and tore up, he said, "Well, I'll have you to know that I'm a Christian too." I said, "Christian, don't go around sucking on weeds like you're doing." That really upset him. That really tore him up. He said, "Well, I'll tell you one thing." He said, "I'll take the law and you take God." And said, "We'll see who prevails." I said, "I'll tell you something, sir, and do a little prophesying to start with. I'm going to take God and we're going to win and you're going to fail to start with." I said, "I'll tell you in advance." Oh, he didn't like that and he flew out of there. I got out of there and God told me what to do. I went over and saw the judge. And here come the judge. A judge had been a judge for many years, a hard fella. Here it come. I sat right down in his living room and talked to him. And I began to preach to him, and when I got through preaching to him, he started rubbing his hands, and he said, I feel like Pilate. I said, "I'll tell you what." I said, "God saves judges too. Did you know that?" I said, "Would you like me to pray for you?" He said, "Yeah." I laid hands on him, me and Brother Taylor, and we prayed for him, and tears covered his eyes. I said, "Give your heart to God. Let God save you." We prayed. I said, "Did God save you?" He didn't say nothing. He just shook his head with the tears in his eyes like that. Hallelujah. Don't you know that lawyer was disappointed? Hallelujah. Me and the judge was friends before he ever went to the judgment seat. That fellow didn't even have a chance. Somebody say, I love Jesus. When we go God's way, we always win. Hallelujah. I could just go on and go on. All right, let's sing this little chorus together. Hallelujah. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as an eagle. Oh, they shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk but never faint. Just teach me, Lord, oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon my Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up. While they're singing, while they're playing, I wanted to fall on you tonight. Sinners, stay alive. I wonder if you'd gather around the altar tonight and rededicate your life to God. Would you do that tonight? It's time the saints of God arose and took the kingdoms of this world. Hallelujah. They belong to you. They belong to you. Esau's had them long enough. Hallelujah.
Upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall come
with the Lord. I said Esau's had them long enough. It's time the saints of God took their inheritance. That's what we have to do with being here under this tent. That's why God's got it in Charlotte. It's time the saints of God begin to rise up to take the kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It ain't going to be white power. It ain't going to be black power. And as Reverend Ike says, it ain't going to be green power. It's going to be God's power. Hallelujah. You can join whatever group you want to. But brother, there's one group that's predestined to take the kingdom. That's God's people. The black man ain't gonna take it. The German ain't gonna take it. The Russian ain't gonna take it. America ain't gonna take it. God's people's gonna take it. And the Bible said they'll possess it forever and ever. Forever and ever. They'll possess it forever and ever. Just a little more. They'll possess it forever. Hallelujah. God's people go take it. Isn't that right?
I want to be part of it, don't you?
Don't you want to be part of it? The people of Charlotte, the people of Atlanta, Georgia, people that we was preaching to over in Sweden not too long ago, the people down in South America, the people around the world, God's got children of God everywhere that's ready to take the kingdom. Hallelujah. You know, God's people used to be a bunch of ignoramuses as far as the world was concerned. They didn't know anything about politics. They didn't know anything about college. They didn't know anything about manufacturing. They didn't know anything about science. But today we know about all of it. Hallelujah. Amen. We still love God above all of it. Still see God's way above all of it. Hallelujah. And it's the greatest thing of all. Praise God. Praise God. I feel God on the main line, don't you? I feel God on the main line. Okay, I feel God tonight. I feel God tonight. Don't you love Jesus? Hallelujah! I just have to say hallelujah sometimes. Like that little girl that come here the other night, her daddy got on to her. She was over here and the Spirit of God started moving. She screamed as loud as she could. Her daddy said, Said, don't you ever do that again. Said, you know you just want attention. She told him in so many words, said, Daddy just had to do it a bust. Said, I had to do something, just had to get it out. Said, something happened to me. Something happened to me. A little child shall lead them. Hallelujah. Do something a little different tonight. If you got a handkerchief, bring it up here if you don't mind and lay it right there. And we're going to pray over. We pray over prayer cloths. And we sent out prayer cloths, and we've had some wonderful, wonderful healings. As a matter of fact, I told the other night about just a track of Sister Anna standing out here, how that she received a track. God's healing word, and God healed her of a disease. Already picked it up. I understand. God healed it. She didn't have to have her operation after they already scheduled for operation. God heals, folks. God heals. I said God heals. How do you believe God heals? Amen. God heals. Amen. Put them up here. And we'll pray over them. Praise God. Peter's shadow just went by and people got healed. God will make these handkerchiefs holy handkerchiefs. How many believe that? I said the other night, somebody said, well, I don't believe you can make cloths holy. I know one thing. The Bible said the ground wherein Moses stood was holy. If God can make ground holy, He can make cloths holy. Isn't that right? Amen. God can do whatever He wants to. If He can take something like me, Michael, and make me holy, He can make anything holy. Amen. That's the way I believe it. So then we ask God to anoint. We ask God to bless. We ask God to make the ground holy when we're here. Then when people stand on them, they'll be standing on holy ground and things will be taking place. I want you to be healed, folks. I want the Spirit of God to come down and touch your body. I felt the Holy Ghost last night coming down, touching people's body. I felt them getting healed. I felt them getting delivered. The Bible said the little woman felt virtue come from the body of Jesus to her, and she said she felt that she had been made whole. And Jesus said, I felt virtue go out of my body. And if we're the tabernacle of God tonight, if we're the body of Jesus Christ tonight, that means there's virtue in the body of Jesus tonight. And that means if you believe tonight, that virtue will come out of them and heal you. I believe this is what Paul meant when he said you failed to discern the body of Christ. Many people sleep. That is, they're dead. They die premature deaths because they fail to see the body of Jesus Christ, the tabernacle of God in the earth. They fail to realize that healing is in that body, that virtue is in that body. If they'll fasten their eyes on that body and their mind on that body, their faith in that body, God will heal them. Somebody said, oh, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you're supposed to put your faith in Christ. The Bible said, I'm bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Not me living, but Him. Is that right? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Somebody said, yeah, you better watch out. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Let's get a little more personal. If you read on another place, he just said, follow me. Didn't say anything about following Christ. Somebody say, I love Jesus. He knew that he was manifesting Christ. Just to follow him was enough. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Don't you love Jesus? I love him tonight. Hallelujah. I know you do. I can tell from your spirits that you do. I know you love him. I know you care for him. Hallelujah.